Okay, so we're going to have a teaching, and then after the teaching, we're going to have, we're going to do our communion, just so you know that, and so relax and enjoy it. And of course today, well, not of course, because we don't always teach on the resurrection, but today I am going to teach on the resurrection, because I've been reading Jesus Christ, our Passover, and just been having so much fun going through that again. It's kind of interesting, the other night, when did Passover start? Monday? Yeah. Yeah, Monday. So down the street, two houses down, we have a Jewish family or couple. And they had, I guess they had the Seder there. So there was like 15 cars in front of their house. And, you know, it's a big deal to them. But Easter is always at the time of Passover because Jesus Christ was the Passover lamb, and that goes back to, you know, way back to the time of Egypt when God brought Israel out of bondage, which was kind of amazing the way he did it. So I want you to go to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38, because there's a great couple of verses in here, and it's about Jesus Christ foretelling of his resurrection. Chapter 12, verse 38, we're going to begin. It says, then certain of the scribes, I'll wait for you guys to get there. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. You know, people always want to see signs, right?
Yeah.
He said, if I could see a sign, I'd believe. And they could see a zillion signs, they still wouldn't believe. At the crucifixion of Christ, the Pharisees said, well, if he would get off the cross, we'd believe. But they wouldn't have believed no matter what he did. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Obviously, Friday, Good Friday, as the world calls it or religion calls it, to Easter Sunday morning is not 3 days and three nights, right? Can't possibly be. 3 days and three nights means three 24-hour periods, three full days, a day and a night, right? That makes up a whole day. So, you know, we know that as you study the scriptures and put things together that he had to have been crucified on Wednesday afternoon somewhere between 3 and 6 in the evening, and then the conclusion of 3 days and three nights would be from Wednesday night to Thursday night would be 1 day, Thursday night to Friday night would be 2 days, Friday night to Saturday night would be 3 days. So sometime after 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, Jesus Christ arose from the dead. Exactly when, nobody knows, because nobody was there. It's not recorded in the Word. There's no security cameras or anything else to record it. All we have is the records in the Word of God concerning what God says about the resurrection, and it picks up very early on Sunday morning before the sun rises. So before we go there, I want you to go to Acts chapter 20, chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. And David, the king, you know, there's three great men in the Jewish religion. There's Moses, well, there's Abraham, who started it all. You know, Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, who then God renamed Israel, and he had the 12 sons. So Abraham is, you know, he was the main guy. He was the patriarch who gave the other patriarchs, you know, they were his sons and grandsons and great-grandsons. And then there was Moses, who was called the Great Redeemer and the Lawgiver, who came and redeemed Israel out of bondage in Egypt. And then there is the King David, and he was the great king, and it says that he was a man after God's own heart. So in chapter 2, verse 22, it says, this is the day of Pentecost, and Peter is speaking. He says, beginning from the baptism of John, you all know, chapter 2, verse 22. Chapter 2. Sorry, I'm reading in the wrong place. Ye men of Israel, okay? Ye men of Israel, hear the words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. And it says here, he was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God foretold of his being taken and crucified or killed. That was God's plan. That was how he had to do it to redeem man. He had to have a sacrifice. And that sacrifice had to be a man redeeming man from man's sin. And that man was Jesus Christ. So God foretold it and determined it from Genesis 3:15 on, as far as we know. And then it says in verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. David's hope, his soul rested in hope, the hope of the coming Messiah. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. So here he said, the Lord is at my right hand, speaking of God. And he said, my soul shall rest in hope because God will not leave my soul in hell, meaning the grave. And he would not allow his Holy One, meaning the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to see corruption. He wouldn't rot in the grave. That's what corrupt means, to rot in the grave. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. For he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. He's still dead, right? He's still in the ground. David is still gone. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, in the grave, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. They were witnesses. They were eyewitnesses because they saw the risen Christ. But David saw it hundreds and hundreds of years before it happened. He foretold of it. God foretold of it. Jonah was even before that. So, or no, he wasn't. He was after that. But he foretold of it, or his life foretold of it. It was foretold, it was known that he would rise from the dead. That's the greatest thing that God ever did. It's the greatest thing that ever happened. Okay, now I want you to go to 1 John, the epistle of 1 John in the back of the Bible. God bless you, whoever sneezed. 1 John, chapter 3. Okay, chapter 3, verse 2, it says, beloved. Beloved is us, usins. We, those that believed in Jesus Christ and believed in the resurrection, those who are born again, beloved, now are we the sons of God. What a great thing to be a son of God. You know, you could be a prince of Saudi Arabia, big deal. You could be the son of a Rockefeller or Trump or some rich man, big deal. But are you a son of God? The riches that we have go way beyond the riches of this time and this moment. And it says, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that we know that we know. How do we know? We have Holy Spirit, yeah. We know that we know that we know. That when he, Jesus Christ, shall appear, we shall be what?
Like him.
For we shall see him as he is. Wow. What a great promise. How incredible is that? So let's go to Mark chapter 16. We shall be like him. Mark chapter 16, Matthew 28. Sorry. Matthew 28. And then we'll go to Mark 16. Okay, Matthew 28. In verse 1, it says, in the end of the Sabbath. Okay, the end of the Sabbath, that this is what? Saturday, right? Saturday. Saturday ended when? Sundown on Saturday, right? That's when the Sabbath ended for them, because the Jewish Sabbath is Saturday. But it starts on Friday night at sundown and ends on Saturday at sundown. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. When does it begin to dawn? Well, actually, you know, after the sun goes down, the dawn is coming from that moment on, isn't it? So I don't know when it began to dawn, but it was early in the morning. Toward the first day of the week, which would be Sunday, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Have you ever been in an earthquake?
Yep.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. One time we were running a class at our house in Ohio, and all of a sudden it started to shake. And it lasted for about, I don't know, not quite a minute maybe. But it was like, wow, what the heck is that? You know, it was like, wow. So, but this says this was, and that wasn't a great earthquake, and it wasn't, it really occurred like hundreds of miles away from us in Kentucky or something. But we still felt it, and it, you know, we stopped. Anyway, there was a great earthquake. Well, how great is a great earthquake? That's where, you know, windows break and glasses fall off the shelves, and sometimes houses fall down. There was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. What a sight. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. For fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. They had put guards, keepers is the word guards, they had put guards next to the grave. You know, they had the grave. It was, you know, hewed out of rock. It was like a tomb. And they rolled a rock in front of it, a great big rock, so nobody could go in and mess with the body. So, and they put guards by it. Well, these guys fainted out cold. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. That would shake me up just that they knew what we were doing there, right? If you went to the graveyard and somebody appeared and said, I know why you're here. I know who you're seeking or you're going to see. That would be pretty nerve-wracking in itself. But he said, fear not. And he says in verse 6, he is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre, and fear and great joy, and did with fear and great joy, and did run and bring his disciples the word. And they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said unto them, be not afraid. Go tell the brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. So that is, you know, one of the appearances of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. Now you go back and forth because obviously there's a timeline here, but we're not going to get into all that today because it would take too long. But I just wanted to point out the appearances. So they touched him there, didn't they? They saw him and they touched him. In chapter 16, verse 1, it says, and when the Sabbath day was passed, meaning Saturday, it ended at sundown, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome. Salome wasn't mentioned in Matthew, but she was with him also. It tells you who the other Mary was, Mary, the mother of James, and they had brought sweet spices that they may come and anoint him. Because originally, when Jesus Christ was put in the grave, he was wrapped up by Joseph of Arimathea, and just put in the grave real quickly. And then later on, Nicodemus came and prepared the body and wrapped it in the grave clothes and did all the specific things that you were supposed to do. Okay? So the women came because they knew that he would have to be prepared properly, and they wanted to fix the body the way it was supposed to be done correctly. Now, that all means very simply that if they were fixing the body up and doing all the stuff that was expected in their culture, that they didn't expect him to get up. You know, because if he's getting up, why do you have to do all that stuff? Okay, verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And he went and told, and she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had seen of her, believed not. You know, they didn't believe it. When she came and said, I have seen the Lord, they didn't believe her. And that he had appeared in another form unto 2 of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, whether neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Okay, so the 11 would be the apostles, minus Thomas, not Judas. Judas was there. Okay, let's go to Luke 24. And we're going to backtrack a little bit because it talked about the two in the country. And the two in the country were the two guys on the road to Emmaus. Now upon the first day of the week, chapter 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, 2 men stood by them in shining garments. So now there's 2 guys in shining garments. And they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth. They said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Now, you know, he didn't just say it one time, did he? If you go back and read through the Gospels, he did the thing with Jonah, and the apostles and other disciples were there with him. There were other times when he talked about tearing down this temple and raising it up the third day. And that he said that more than once. And his disciples and apostles were there. He instructed them about stuff, that he would leave them and he would give them a comforter and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, they didn't get it and they didn't remember it and they didn't believe it. So now they remembered. Verse 9, they returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and all the rest. So, the disciples and the apostles, minus Thomas, were there and they were sad and they were crying and they were, you know, doing whatever people do when somebody they love dies. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna. Now there's another one, Joanna. And Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with him. The other women would be Salome, yeah. And probably some others, which told these things unto the apostles. And these words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. So Peter didn't believe him, but at least he went to the gravesite and looked to see what was going on. And behold, okay, and so then he ran there and he wondered what was come to pass. And behold, two of them that went, that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs, however long that is. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were holden that they should not know him. So these guys were disciples, you know, followers of Jesus Christ. They had been with him. They had seen him. And yet, when he meets them on the road to Emmaus, they don't recognize him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? Boy, that was pretty cool, huh? Like he didn't know. What things? He wanted to hear what they had to say about it. And they said unto him, verse 19, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. You know, they called him a prophet, didn't they? They didn't call him the Son of God. I guess they weren't really quite sure. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And we trusted that it had been which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found if it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe. Here's that word heart. Slow of heart. Does that mean that their heart rate slowed down? It means they were slow to understand and believe. All that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? You know, ought not Christ? And he says, all that the prophets have spoken. So, you know, it had been taught over and over for hundreds of years by the prophets And we saw a couple. We saw David, right? We knew about Jonah. And there must have been others that talked about, well, Isaiah and I believe Jeremiah. They talked about these things and they prophesied of them. And yet, people didn't get it. It says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Wow, that must have been a heck of a long teaching. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. And they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went to tarry with them. He constrained them, which means what? He said, I'm going, and they said, oh, no, come in with us and eat dinner. And he said, well, that's nice, I'd really like to, but I have to leave. And then they said the second, oh, yeah, but, you know, it's getting dark, and you're tired, and please allow us to provide dinner for you. And he goes, well, I know you're really being sweet to me, but I really got to go. And so a third time they say, oh, but please, we really want you to spend more time with us. You've been such a great teacher to us and explaining things to us. And so finally he says, okay, that's what constraining is, right? That's what we know from the Bible. They constrained him. Abide with us, for it is toward evening, the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. They must have been at the Last Supper, because it struck a chord with them, huh? Because we know that there were other people than the apostles at the Last Supper. We don't know who, but we know that there were others. It mentions the disciple that Jesus loved. And others. So these guys might have been there. Because when he broke the bread and blessed it, the light bulb went on. And their eyes were opened. Does that mean their physical eyes were opened? It means their understanding. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. That's pretty crazy. So one place they saw him and they touched him. Here he walked with them and taught them, and then he went in and ate with them, and then he vanished. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened up to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11, the apostles, gathered together, and them that were with them, other people, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, he hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that he had seen a spirit, you know, like a ghost, right? And he said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that is, it is I myself, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye have seen me have. So, you know, he had flesh and bones. He was risen from the dead and he had flesh and bones, but he could vanish and he could appear. He knew no limitations and no bounds, physical bounds. That's pretty cool. Because we're going to be like him. What a cool thing. What a cool, cool thing. We're going to be like him as he is. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Wow. And he said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And it's for the remission of sins and all that stuff. But he rose the third day. Okay, let's go to John chapter 20. You know, the worst thing that can happen to us in our physical life is what?
Die.
You know, if the Lord tarries, if he doesn't come back, we're going to die. We lose loved ones. We you know, people we care about. And as we get older, and, you know, life is pretty fleeting. And the older you get, the faster it goes, and the more you go, what happened? You know, you start out and you think, wow, I got forever. You know, and that one of the great difficulties with youth is that you're short-sighted. You know, you think about today. You don't think about, well, if I live to be 70, you know, how am I going to affect my life all these years? You know, you don't think long-term. The older you get, the more you understand long-term, and the more you want to make the most of the time you have. You know, and that's long-term thinking. You got to live for today, but you live today, but with the understanding that you could live a long time, and everything you do today affects your whole life. Anyway, chapter 20 of John, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre, and she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. So, you know, she thought somebody stole the body.
Right.
You know, if you go back in Matthew, at the end of Matthew, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests, they got the guards that were there, and they bribed them and said, tell everybody that his disciples came and stole the body away. And they paid him a lot of money. They paid him a lot of money to say that, which, you know, and they promised them that they wouldn't suffer any punishment for that. Because if you were a guard and you were guarding something in that day and time and you didn't do your job and didn't guard what you were supposed to guard, like that body, then you were done. You would be killed or something, or thrown in jail or whatever. You'd be finished. But they promised them that they wouldn't have to do that. Okay, let's go down to verse 11. It says, but Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, and the one at the head, the other at the feet, and there where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had said thus, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Wow. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend not unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Okay, now before he told them to touch him, right? And the time sequence is that he said this first, and then between the time he said this and the time that he said to them to touch him, he had to do something. And to ascend to his Father didn't mean the ascension, but it meant that he had to go up to the temple, the Holy of Holies. And he had to present himself there as payment for our sins. Okay? That's what he had to do. It's called manumission, the freeing of slaves. And that's what they would do. They had to go to the temple to God and make the payment. And he presented himself as the payment for all of us, for all mankind, forever. And so between that time and the time where he said, touch them, that's what he had to do. And once he did that, he came back, and then they could touch him, and he could eat with them and all the other stuff. Okay? So I took it out of order, but I'm explaining it to you, and you could study it and understand it.
Okay.
So where was I?
18.
18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples and she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, so it's a while later, right? She went early in the morning. Now it's at evening, so it could be, you know, depending what time of year, it could be 10, 11, 12 hours later. It's in the springtime, we know that. So it could be about 12 hours later. Being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto him, peace be unto you. Well, how did he get into the room if the doors were shut? He appeared. Poof. You know, like the little column of smoke, and there he was. There was no smoke, probably. Verse 20, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were his disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So, you know, and then he talks to him about receiving Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And then in verse chapter 21, it talks about Thomas, and Thomas comes and, you know, all that stuff. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 15. So that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? That's the resurrection. That's what he came, you know, it says in 1 Corinthians 2, what does it say? It said if they had known what was going to happen, if they had known that God was going to give Holy Spirit to everyone that believed, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. They would have not. If they knew that Holy Spirit and eternal life were going to be made available to everybody, it says, then the princes of this world, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known that Jesus Christ was going to rise from the dead, they thought they got rid of the problem, right? They thought, wow, okay, we crucify him, he's done with. We don't need to deal with him anymore. Okay, chapter 15. Chapter 15 deals with the resurrection. It's what it's about. The whole chapter deals with the resurrection and the return of Jesus Christ. It tells us there, just like it tells in 1 Thessalonians, if you are born again and you die when Jesus Christ comes back, what happens? You come up from the dead, yeah? You rise from the dead and you get a new body. And if you're alive when Christ comes, what happens? You get changed, you get that new body, and we all meet him in the air and we're ever with the Lord. But in chapter 15, verse 1, it says, moreover, brethren, this is Paul speaking, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep that in memory, what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, according to the Scriptures, according to the Word of God, that was written down. And where was it written down? In the Old Testament. It was foretold in the Old Testament how God would send a Messiah, a Savior, a Christ, and he would die for our sins. He would pay the price. And that's what the whole thing about the sacrifices were in the Old Testament. It was a foreshadowing, a foretelling of the real thing that was to come later on. That was just a... to give them understanding that there had to be the sacrifice of blood for the remission of sins. And that he was buried. He was buried in the ground. And that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Again, the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, which is Peter. Then of the 12. And that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. So how many people saw the risen Christ? Well, the 12. We know the women saw him. We know the two guys on the road to Emmaus saw him. And it says, you know, about above 500 brethren at once. So lots of people saw him in the resurrected body. Lots of people saw him walking about after he rose from the dead. What a cool thing. And then he was seen of James and then of all the apostles. Last of all, he was seen of me and also was one born out of due time. And Paul saw him when? On the road to Damascus. Jesus Christ appeared to him. For I am the least of the apostles and am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. So that's what happened there. Then go to verse 20. It says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. You know, he conquered death for us. He's the first fruits of them that slept. He's the first. Everybody in the Old Testament, as good as they were, as wonderful as they may have been, Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and all those guys are in the grave. It said David is still in the grave, right? In Acts, that was after. It says, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's, when? At his coming. Then cometh the end, and then shall he have delivered up the kingdom of God, kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. So that's pretty cool. And then I want you to go to verse 51. And it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. You know, we won't all die because people will be alive when he comes back, right? But we shall all be changed. We'll all be changed, meaning what? We're going to be like he is. We're going to get changed and get that new body. We're going to get a new body. Woohoo! No more diets. No more gray hair. No more hair falling out. No more pain. No more sickness. No more disease. No more sadness. No more anything bad. A new body that's going to last for how long? Forever. This one wears out, unfortunately. That one won't. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death, and it should be, was swallowed up in victory, because it's already accomplished. It's already done. It's already reality. And then in verse 57, it says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's what it's all about. And that victory is in his resurrection. That victory is in what he made available to us when he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. You know, that's what it's all about. So, amen.